Nitrous oxide is the oldest anesthetic in the cabinet and, paradoxically, one of the least understood molecules in medicine. The same fast, gentle pharmacology that makes it a candidate for treating depression that resists everything else is also what makes large-tank recreational use quietly dangerous. It is the fastest-acting NMDA antagonist we know, a gas that can lift depression within an hour and, in heavy chronic use, dismantle the spinal cord over months. This is the neuroscience of laughing gas, the mechanism, the promise, and the harm. This article is education, not medical advice. The oldest new drug in neuroscience, nitrous oxide was first synthesized in 1772 and inhaled for fun at laughing gas parties decades before anyone thought to use it in surgery. It has been part of clinical anesthesia for more than 150 years, which makes it one of the most familiar molecules in medicine and, paradoxically, one of the least understood. For most of that history, we knew that it worked without knowing how. Only in the last quarter century has the neuroscience come into focus, and what it reveals is a small, unassuming gas doing several very different things to the brain at once. That dual identity is the whole story. The same pharmacology that makes nitrous oxide a fast, gentle sedative in a dentist's chair and a candidate for treating depression that resists everything else is also what makes large-tank recreational use quietly dangerous. Mechanism, an NMDA antagonist that refuses to be just one thing. If you had to name a single mechanism, it would be NMDA receptor antagonism. The NMDA receptor is a key gateway for glutamate, the brain's main excitatory neurotransmitter, and nitrous oxide acts as a non-competitive antagonist there. It dampens the excitatory glutamatergic signal that drives arousal and pain transmission. This is now regarded as the primary driver of its anesthetic and dissociative adjacent effects, and it is the reason nitrous oxide keeps getting mentioned in the same breath as ketamine. But calling it an NMDA antagonist and stopping there would be a mistake because it is genuinely multi-target. Its analgesia, the pain relief that made it famous, appears to run substantially through the endogenous opioid system. Inhaled nitrous oxide triggers the release of endogenous opioid peptides in the periaqueductal gray matter, which in turn activate descending noradrenergic pathways from the locus coeruleus that suppress pain signals in the spinal cord. This is why some of its pain-killing effect can be attenuated by the opioid blocker naloxone, a genuinely surprising fact for a gas most people file next to ether. Beyond glutamate and opioids, nitrous oxide nudges several other systems. It has weak potentiating effects at GABA-A receptors, the inhibitory, calming system that benzodiazepines and alcohol lean on. It activates two pore domain potassium channels, notably acting as a partial agonist at TREC1, which hyperpolarizes neurons, effectively raising the threshold for them to fire and contributing to both sedation and analgesia. And its euphoria and reward appear to involve the mesolimbic dopamine pathway, the same circuitry implicated in the pleasurable pull of most recreational drugs. The honest summary, NMDA antagonism leads, but the felt experience is a chord, not a single note. Nitrous oxide versus ketamine, cousins, not twins. Because both are non-competitive NMDA antagonists with rapid antidepressant signals, the ketamine comparison is unavoidable and useful with caveats. Both sit adjacent to the dissociative category. Both produce a sense of detachment. Both interest researchers for the same reason, namely that blocking NMDA seems to unlock fast mood effects that conventional antidepressants can't match. The differences matter, though. Nitrous oxide is a gas with almost no systemic metabolism and negligible drug interaction potential. Ketamine is metabolized in the liver into active compounds that may carry much of its antidepressant weight. Nitrous oxide's effects appear and vanish within minutes. Ketamine's dissociation and mood lift unfold and linger over hours. And a growing body of work suggests the downstream mechanisms diverge, despite the shared NMDA starting point. Recent preclinical studies point to nitrous oxide-specific actions on calcium-activated potassium channels in prefrontal neurons that fire even when NMDA function is blocked, hinting the depression mechanism may not be pure NMDA antagonism at all. flag. That work is preclinical and mechanistic, intriguing, not settled. The rapid antidepressant research, promising, small, investigational. The clinical story starts with Peter Nagel and colleagues at Washington University. In a 2015 proof-of-concept trial in biological psychiatry, 20 patients with treatment-resistant major depression inhaled either 50% nitrous oxide or a placebo gas for 1 hour. The nitrous group showed a significant, rapid drop in depression scores. The 2021 follow-up, published in Science Translational Medicine, was the more informative study. This phase 2 crossover trial compared 25% nitrous, 50% nitrous, and placebo in 24 patients who had on average been depressed for over 17 years. Both active doses beat placebo, and crucially, the lower 25% dose delivered comparable antidepressant benefit with dramatically fewer adverse effects. This is genuinely exciting, and it is also early. The trials are small, mostly single site, and short in follow-up. There is no FDA-approved nitrous oxide antidepressant. Treat every claim in this section as investigational. Clinical medicine, a long, boring, reassuring safety record. Set against the frontier research is the everyday reality. In supervised medical settings, nitrous oxide is one of the safest agents we have. In dentistry, it is the workhorse of anxiolysis and mild sedation, delivered at concentrations up to 50%, with a decades-deep record of safe use in adults and children. In emergency departments and procedure suites, it enables short, painful interventions without full anesthesia. And in obstetrics, as Entonox, a fixed 50-50 blend of nitrous oxide and oxygen, it offers self-administered pain relief in labor that does not blunt uterine contractions, does not require an anesthesiologist at the bedside, and clears from mother and baby within minutes of the mask coming off. The reason all of this is safe comes down to two things. The gas is always co-administered with adequate oxygen and under monitoring, and its most dangerous chronic effect, B12 inactivation, barely registers with the brief occasional exposures of clinical care. The danger lives in the gap between 50% nitrous plus oxygen for 20 minutes once and pure nitrous, no oxygen, for hours, repeatedly. Why the high comes and goes in seconds. Nitrous oxide's defining pharmacokinetic trait is its very low blood solubility, a blood gas partition coefficient of about 0.47, among the lowest of any inhaled agent. In plain terms, the gas barely dissolves in blood before saturating it, so partial pressures in the lungs, blood, and brain equilibrate almost instantly. Inhale and effects arrive in seconds. Stop, and because nitrous isn't metabolized but simply exhaled unchanged, it clears just as fast. That is why the recreational experience is a compressed burst, a wave of euphoria, dizziness, warmth, dissociation, and sometimes brief auditory distortion that peaks and fades within a minute or two. The brevity is the appeal, and it is also what drives repeated dosing. Users chase the fleeting effect with charger after charger, and it is that pattern of heavy repeated exposure that creates the real hazard. Recreational use and the B12 catastrophe. Here the tone has to shift, because the recreational risk profile is not trivial, and 2024 to 2026 has made it urgent. The core mechanism of chronic harm is elegant and merciless. Nitrous oxide irreversibly oxidizes the cobalt atom at the heart of vitamin B12, converting it to an inactive form. That inactivates the enzyme methionine synthase, for which B12 is an essential cofactor. The downstream consequence is a functional B12 deficiency, one that can occur even when blood B12 looks normal, which is why elevated homocysteine and methylmalonic acid are the more reliable markers. Because B12-dependent methylation is essential for building and maintaining myelin, the insulation around nerves, sustained nitrous exposure, can strip that insulation. The result is a spectrum of neurological injury, subacute combined degeneration of the spinal cord, producing numbness, tingling, weakness, and a staggering, unsteady gait, peripheral neuropathy, and broader myeloneuropathy. On the blood side, it can produce megaloblastic anemia. Case reports describe young, otherwise healthy users presenting with ascending paralysis mistaken for Guillain-Barré syndrome. Recovery requires immediate and permanent cessation plus high-dose B12 replacement. And even then, as public health authorities note, it is often slow and incomplete. The acute risks are separate and also real, because the gas displaces oxygen, inhaling it in an enclosed way risks hypoxia and asphyxiation. Rapid decompression of pressurized canisters can cause frostbite of the lips, mouth, and airway. The CDC's April 2025 report found that Michigan Poison Center calls, ER visits, and EMS responses tied to nitrous misuse were 4 to 5 times higher in 2023 than in 2019, concentrated among people aged 20 to 39. Other U.S. data describe a roughly 100% plus rise in nitrous-related deaths over a similar window. The shift from small whipped cream chargers to large Galaxy Gas-style catering tanks, cheap, flavored, marketed, and sold at gas stations and vape shops, is widely blamed for the escalation because a tank makes the heavy, repeated dosing that damages nerves far easier to sustain. This is the honest severity. Occasional exposure is low risk. Heavy chronic use can cause permanent, disabling, neurological damage. Legal status in 2025 to 26, legal, but tightening. As of mid-2026, nitrous oxide is not a federally scheduled controlled substance in the U.S., precisely because it has legitimate culinary, medical, automotive, and industrial uses. That legal status is exactly what makes it so accessible, and it is now under active revision at the state and federal advisory level. The FDA issued a consumer safety alert in March 2025, advising the public not to inhale nitrous oxide products in any canister size, and updated it in June 2025 to name additional brands, Galaxy Gas among them, citing risks from abnormal blood counts and asphyxiation to blood clots, paralysis, B12 deficiency, and death. At the state level, the picture is a patchwork in motion. Louisiana's 2024 legislation restricted sales to genuine medical, food, automotive, and industrial uses, with subsequent laws targeting flavored products and raising the purchase age toward 21. States including Oregon and Michigan have moved on age limits and sales rules. The trajectory is clear even where specifics vary by state. What was frictionless is becoming regulated. None of this is legal advice. Check current law where you live. The honest bottom line. Nitrous oxide is a case study in why is this drug safe is the wrong question. The right question is, at what dose, with what oxygen, how often, and under whose supervision? The same NMDA antagonist gas is a 150-year-old anesthetic with an excellent supervised record, a legitimately promising and legitimately unproven antidepressant candidate, and in the hands of a heavy recreational user working through catering tanks, a cause of preventable, sometimes permanent spinal cord injury. All three are true at once. If you or someone you know is using nitrous oxide recreationally and experiencing numbness, tingling, weakness, or trouble walking, seek medical care promptly. This article is education, not medical advice.